The sermon for this morning, the lion and the honey. Yeah, it sounds better. Sounds good so far. Let's see. Open your Bibles up to Judges. Judges should be in front of Samuel, in front of Ruth. Judges chapter number 14, and we'll start reading from there. Now Samson went down to Timnah, and saw women of Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and his mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Get her for me. Now if you read the story of the Philistines, you would know that God tells his parents that there'll be a son, and he's going to be their judge or deliverer from the Philistine oppression, and that's what he is supposed to do. At the point of the judges, you don't have a king yet, because God is the king of the Israelites at this point. And over here, they have not yet asked God for a king, and so he still has judges rule over the Israelites. And so, and Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. Then his father and his mother said to him, his mother and his father just wants to like just stop for a minute. They look. Imagine the confused look at his parents' face, because he supposed they saw an angel, right? If you read the previous, if you put it in context, they saw an angel tell them that you'll have a son. He has a Nazarite vow: no alcohol should touch his lips, you can't cut his hair, that type of thing. And so it's a serious thing. And now their son comes and tells them, "All right, I want a Philistine as a wife." I'm thinking the parents looks at one another in confusion. Really, Samson? Not like one of our people that can't you find? So his parents says, Samson said to his father, get it for me. Now, verse 3. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman amongst the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? This is a clue already. Uncircumcised Philistines. Now, you know that Samson's life is guided by God. He is God's chosen judge. God is not confused with the character and the nature of Samson. Samson is God's choice for this moment. Samson would never be our choice, because Samson fails on too many fields and too many areas. He's completely disqualified by many, many Christians, because we think the qualification to be used of God is perfection in man's eyes. God chooses a little bit differently. That's why even Samuel, God's chosen prophet, wanted to choose Eliab instead of David, because he didn't look at David like God did. He looked at Eliab through the lens of a man. Eliab was well built and stood up head above shoulders above the rest, and he thought this was God's man, because Samson's model was Saul, and Saul was a head and shoulders kind of guy above everyone else. And see, he used this frame of reference to choose God's next leader. But God said, don't choose your lens. Your lens is wrong. You can't see what I see. You look at the outside, I look at the inside. And again, Samson wouldn't be our choice, but God chose him. And Samson said to his father, get her for me. She pleases me well. I like her, so I want her. But his father and his mother did not know that it was the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now we have words here that you have to recognize. The Philistines, uncircumcised. Now you as a non-Jewish person, non-Israelite person, there's a movement in South Africa where people are trying to be Jews. Where people are tracing their lineage back to Jerusalem and to the Israelites. You can't do that. The Bible says to Timothy, stop wasting your time with endless genealogies. It's a waste of time. You're not saved by your family surname. You're saved by grace and through faith. But through faith and through grace, by grace alone. But the uncircumcised Philistines, we are considered uncircumcised in the Old Testament. We are the Gentiles. We are not included in God's people, the Israelites. And now you have this Samson guy, and he says, his father did not know that the Lord was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for the Philistines had dominion over Israel. I want to tell you right now that the law, the Old Testament, says that you are under the law, and the law in the Old Testament, in your life until you are regenerate in Christ Jesus, the law has dominion over your life. You are not giving it dominion, you are born under its dominion. You don't give sin an occasion, it has an occasion over you. You don't give it permission, you are born with sin ruling over you. You have no choice in the matter. And the law says you are under the law, that's dominion. And so God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, the reason I'm pointing it out, because there is a hidden message, I believe, in this text that I think becomes clearer the more you read it. So watch this. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, now in this picture is besides the message we'll get to, is a picture of life. As he came down to the vineyards of Timnah, to his surprise, a lion came roaring against him. He's on his way to a wedding. He's found a girl that he likes, and he's about to get married to someone that he says pleases him well. Isn't this how life works? That you're on your way, you've studied, you're at university, you've gotten your degree, and your life and your destiny is set before you, and everything is in your mind paved for you. How many times have we driven to a holiday destination and had a flat tire? That's what I'm trying to explain. That you have your careers mapped out before you. You have your wedding day ahead of you. You are married and your first child is on the way, and or you've bought your first house. And life, we would think that when we say somebody is doing well, that everything is going well with a person. But I wonder how many of you know that that's not how life works. Life is very much like the story, that you're on your way to your wedding and a lion jumps out. That's a very contrasting picture to the joy and the happiness of life, and all of a sudden a lion jumps out. We would have no issue if you're on your way to your wedding and a rabbit runs into your way, or a little goat runs on your way, because that you can deal with. We can deal with even the little foxes of life. But how many of us can really deal with lions? When you have your I'll give you a perfect example from recent experiences. We have these children going on these school camps. My son, for instance, is doing a camp going on to Durban and then going to Cape Town. Two camps in one holiday. And so I'm privileged for my son to be able to be chosen to be on the team. Now, I've heard of other boys that's on playing top rugby in their school. They play top athlete in their school. And they've got multiple camps coming up in the next few months. And some of them possibly even international. And qualifies to be the best athlete in our country. And your life is set to be one of the top athletes. But a lion jumps out. Your parents has to pay the bill. And if you only earn a certain income, and your income goes towards paying your house and paying your car and you're paying your school fees, and you come at the end of the month, you have enough money, just enough for the food that you have to buy. But now all of a sudden your children has to go on camps, and you have more than one that's going on these camps. They're top athletes, but you can't see your way through how to pay for it all. How do you pay for it? Do you take another credit card? Because it's just one term before it's the next holiday and there's another camp coming. How many credit cards can you have? Isn't this how life works? You're on your way to your wedding and a lion jumps out. You thought this was going to go through, but then this happens. You met the girl of your life. You love her. You want to get married to her, but then you have to pay for it. Starts with a ring. That's cheap. You thought the ring was expensive. Give it time. I get to do a lot of wedding ceremonies, and sometimes I rock up at these weddings and I look at the venue and I think to myself, lucky girl, if you can afford this, you're set. Chanel had to be happy marrying, getting married. We got married on the church property because we didn't have money for anything else. Oh, we still went on a nice honeymoon. I thought to myself, that's better than having an expensive wedding. And I recently discovered the old video footage of that honeymoon. So I got it on film. It's if you don't have photos, it didn't happen. I have photos. It happened. We went on honeymoon. But we got married next to the building. We see, and you have the, but this is life. And here he is walking, and his parents walking behind him, sort of confused, looking at each other. We walking to the people that he has to set us free from, and he wants to marry them. This is also a picture of Jesus Christ that lets down a veil in front of Paul and says to, not Paul, Peter, and he says to Peter, these animals take and eat. And Peter says to him, ha, no, excuse me, Jesus, you misunderstood. We're Jewish. We don't eat unclean animals. Jesus says, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. Take and eat. And this was a message of Jesus saying to him that I'm going to take this message that most people think is only for Israelites. I'm taking that to the rest of the world. And they're going to be included in my family. And many people say that's not possible because we're Israelites, we're God's chosen people. How can you include? And he is walking towards the Philistines and his parents are confused because they're the enemy. They're the enemy. They're not supposed to be included. And this is, to me, a way that life plays out with us as well. That sometimes we think things are working. Things are not working out. You can have the best career and you can thrive in your career and your finances can be sorted out, but you don't want to go home because your marriage is falling apart. A lion jumps out. A lion jumps out. Your children, your marriage may be doing well and your career is doing well, but you have no time to spend with your children. And all of a sudden your children goes into matric and they begin to experiment with alcohol and drugs and a lion jumps out. We were set to be this perfect family. We read Bible together, we did our thing together, and now all of a sudden my son has turned left. A lion jumps out. My pastor taught me once, he said, not everything is perfect at the same time. Not everything is perfect at the same time. Sometimes it's just one thing that's perfect, and people look at that and think you have it all together, but you don't tell them that there are a few lions I'm dealing with. And while he was walking down this road, Samson went down to Timnah, his father. To his surprise, he didn't expect it. Many times the lions doesn't come expectedly. Often if we knew that the lion was coming, we could plan for it. How often does these things happen unexpectedly? Families don't wait to get sick. It happens unexpectedly. Sometimes bills arrive unexpectedly. Sometimes there's a car crash and you have to replace the car, or you have to replace the wheel, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes your house is sorted, but then the microwave breaks and the washing machine breaks and the fridge breaks and all of that breaks at the same time. Sometimes you revamp your house, and as you're revamping the house, it's just after hunting season. I heard the story yesterday, and the contractors put off your deep freeze and all of your hunting meat is lost. Nothing is always perfect at the same time. You can be happy at your marriage, but you stay in a two-bedroom house because you don't have money for a better one. Nothing is always perfect at the same time. To his surprise, a young lion comes roaring against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Again, here is the thing. Most of these lions you can't deal with. And often life throws these lions at you and you try to deal with them through your own strength. The Bible says when you are weak, he is strong. And often we take these lions on by our own strength, not the strength of God. And even Samson, whom we are told that he is the strongest and God gave him supernatural strength. Even this man could not take on this lion had not the Spirit of God come upon him. And how many of the detours in life can you not handle had it not been for the Spirit of God that comes upon your life? But in this moment, the Spirit of God comes and this T-junction is like this moment, unexplainable, surprising moment that just makes him realize you don't have it all covered. On your way to your wedding, on your way with your plans and your perfection and things are working out, all of a sudden this lion jumps out of him and the Spirit of God comes upon him mightily. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Amazing that this lion is torn apart as if it were a goat. This is how, by the Spirit of God, you can deal with the difficulties of life. I say often that life happens to us. It's not that life will not happen to you when you have Christ. I say to you that the outcome is different because of Christ. Life happens to all of us. The sun rises over the saved and the unsaved alike. It pours, and when it pours, when it rains, it pours. And it pours over the righteous and the unrighteous alike. But the outcome is not the same. For those who call upon His name is a strong tower. But the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The outcome is different because he has the Spirit of God working in his life. The Spirit of God comes upon him, and he tears this lion apart. And I wonder at his surprise, looking at this lion walking around the carcass all by himself, no one to see. He tears this lion apart. It's on his way to his wedding. I wonder if he pulls his wedding garments straight again. I wonder if there was blood on it. I wonder how this looked. And he had nothing in his hand, and yet by the Spirit of, it says by the Spirit of God, he tore up this lion. By the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father, his mother, what he had done. So no one knew. His father and mother didn't know what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and his mother, he gave them some to them, and they also ate, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. And so here's this picture, see this picture. But he had just walked, and suddenly a lion jumped out of him. He tore it up by the Spirit of God, looked at this carcass that was lying there, took a step back, and went on his journey, looking over his shoulder at the carcass, went to get his wife. And while he passed this lion, he had nothing. The Bible remarks and says he had nothing in his hand. He had nothing in his hand, but he has the victory over the lion. I wonder how many of you have a testimony that by the Spirit of God and the grace of God, you have a lion carcass lying in your past. Because you encountered life happening to you, but by God, nothing in your hands, because if it was in your hands, you could boast. If the resources was in your bank, it wasn't God, it's you, because you're wealthy. But because you didn't have it, God made a way. Because you couldn't do it, you weren't qualified enough. You weren't in the right place at the right time. You didn't have the right surname. You just had, all you had was the Spirit of God. All you had was the Spirit of God. This testimony happens to him, and as he walks away, he goes on his life and is on his journey, and he takes this wife. His parents confused, you marrying the enemy. You're marrying the wrong one. They don't know, they don't understand. How could you do this? You're supposed to set us free from them, not marry them. They didn't know it was God. And sometimes we see things happening in the church and in the Christian world, and we don't know it's God. We judge what's God based on what we like. Don't you know that the Bible says your thoughts and God's thoughts are separated? It's not slightly separated. How arrogant do you have to be to think that God thinks like you? How full of yourself do you need to be to think, I understand this? God says you don't. You don't get it at all. How could God use a murderer to set free Israel from the Egyptians? How can God use a murderer to be a king whose throne will not end? How can God use Abraham, the father of faith, to lie about his wife and say it's his sister? Backboneless. Yet God doesn't think like you. You disqualify long before God disqualifies. And if God would use your measure, you would be disqualified. And here he goes, and he gets his Philistine wife, and he takes her, and she pleases him well. And on his way back, he walks past this lion. And lo and behold, in this carcass is honey. And what now was with threat has now turned into life. And he takes this honey with his bare hands. And look at this artistic picture of Samson. Look at this artistic picture of Samson. I see this man standing maybe at the end of a road and the sun shining behind him and the sun reflecting of his golden honey dripping hands. See this picture. This man once threatened by a lion. This man marked by God. This man misunderstood by his parents. This man in conflict with his heart wanting to marry the enemy. Doesn't he know? And yet in his confusion and in his rejection and his being misunderstood, honey is dripping from his hands. How can it be that when life gives you a picture, lions jump out at you and you're at conflict with yourself, and in the midst of it, by the grace of God, honey is dripping from you. They said you should die, but now honey is dripping from your lips and from your hands. They said you won't make it, and yet honey is dripping from your hands. And I wonder, his parents looking at him, and they're reflecting about the angel that visited him, and he's marrying a Philistine, and you can't look past the fact that his hands is full of honey. How do you get honey while you're confusing our family? How do you get honey while you're confusing us? How do you get honey while loving the enemy? They don't know it, but God was looking for an occasion. And here he has this honey dripping from his hands. Where were we? Turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, a swarm of bees and the honey with full of the carcass. He took some of his in his hands and went along eating this honey. He's eating this honey. His testimony is feeding him. If God did it for you there, don't go to your future not looking back in gratitude for what God did there. Let your testimony feed you. Let the lions you beat. David uses the same word play. He says, Saul, let me take on this giant. Saul says, but you're just a young lad. He says, no, you don't know who I am. Because in the yesterday, I was sitting under a tree looking after the sheep, and the lion and the bear came at me. And when it turned on me, I would grab it by the beard and I would strike it until it was dead. The lion and the bear is the reason that this giant is nothing. This uncircumcised Philistine is nothing, because the lions in my yesterday tells me that my God can carry me through. How is your testimony? How is the devil telling you that your testimony is weak? Aren't there many stories and carcasses in your yesterdays of lions jumping on you when you were not expecting them? And yet here you are. But you refuse to recognize it because you're so concerned with the now and the here that you can't look back at the flags of success that God had put in you yesterday. And even at the ridicule and the confusion of his own parents, he's standing there and eating of the success of his testimony. He took a little bit in his hand and went along eating. When he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them. Don't think that your testimony is just for yourself. What God is doing in your life and what God had done in your life, it will feed your family. I'm so glad that God saved my life, because my mother is still a child of God. She's on holiday this weekend. She's not here. She's in Cape Town somewhere. But she can serve the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, albeit not like me, but they do know Jesus. And when my father was on his dying bed, my friends were there and they made sure my dad confessed Jesus Christ is his Lord. Don't think that the honey that God puts in your life is just for you. I know Chanel's entire family is saved. They all serve God. And it's not because of us, they already serve God, but they are serving God still to this day. Don't think that the honey is just for you. And the testimony in your life would be a motivation for someone else to know that lions are coming, but by the Spirit of God, you can overcome. We've heard many, many testimonies in this church where young people got saved in this ministry and now their parents are here with them. Because the honey is not just for you. Whatever victories God puts in your lap, that victory serves as a testimony to those around you that needs to see Jesus. He gave some to his parents to eat. And after some time, his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for the young men. The young men used to do, and it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions with them. When Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle that we may hear it." And so he said to them, "Out of the ether came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle." Let me pose to you the hidden message. Some historical theologians believe that this could be the meaning of this riddle. What if the lion is the lamb? What if the lion is Christ? How can I say that? Because the Bible teaches us that he is the lion from the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the lion. And he says to them, out of the ether came something to eat. And this lion, although the apostle Peter stood with Jesus and said, "You shall surely not die," Jesus said to him, "Satan, you don't understand. Satan, get thee behind me, because what makes sense to me doesn't make sense to you. Your thoughts is not my thoughts, and you don't understand. How can Samson go to the Philistines?" Because if Samson didn't go to the Philistines, the uncircumcised Gentiles could never hear the gospel. And so on the way to the Philistines, there has to be this picture in between Samson and his bride, the lion who dies. Why a lion and why not a lamb? Because the Bible teaches us that no one took Jesus' life. He laid it down. And none of us, Samson by himself, had it not been the Spirit, could not take the lion. And none of us can take the lion. The lion is given. It is the Spirit of God. No one could take Jesus' life. Jesus had to lay it down. He says, "No one takes my life. I lay it down as the Father wanted me to do." The Spirit of God came upon him and he took the lion, and the lion was dead. And he says, out of the ether, because to that point, you don't come back from the dead. And had Jesus not come back from the dead, the honey, the promised land is the land overflowing with milk and honey, and we think it's resources. No, it's not. Although it is physically resources, spiritually it means God supplying your life. Oh, the land overflowing with milk and honey, that's the promised land. You in Christ is you in the promised land. And so the honey speaks of the promised land. That speaks of salvation. And out of the carcass comes the honey. And so had the lion not died, the honey would not be there. And so he walks to his wedding feast with hands dripping with honey and his mouth full of the honey. We could say that's a far stretch, but then it puts this little word in here. Now for 3 days, they couldn't explain it. For 3 days, Jesus was dead. The disciples walking around, they can't explain it. They don't know. Is it the end? We don't know. He is now just a body in a cave. It's just a carcass. What good can come from Jesus serving 3 years and nothing happening from him? But then all of a sudden, on the third day, honey from a carcass, life from death, out of the ether, the thing that sucks in everyone. The one thing that is certain is that every person will die, and when you die, you don't come back unless by the Spirit of God. And up to that point, it like the ether, and out of the ether, out of that which is dead, out of that which nothing returns from, out of that comes something sweet. I've got the verses here, let me see. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What is the honey? That is life. Wherein is the life? In God's word. It's his word that gives you life. That honey that comes out. What is sweeter to the taste? So we know that the honey represents God's word. How will they believe if they do not hear? And how will they hear if no one preaches? What do we preach? The gospel. God's word. It says in Jeremiah 15, it says, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We know that verse. It says here, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. It says in 1 Corinthians, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Bees gathered in the carcass. Bees is where we get a sting from. Gathered in the carcass and they made honey. That bees who has a sting, O death, where is your sting? He removed its sting, and out of the carcass came the honey that brings refreshing and life. It's in John 10 where he says, for this reason, the Father loves me, that I lay down my life, and only I to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Now for 3 days, they couldn't explain it. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they had said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not to say? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said to him, you only hate me, you don't love me. For you have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have explained it, if not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother. So I explain it, should I explain it to you? Now she wept on him 7 days while their feast lasted. And at the wedding feast for 7 days, there was no joy. Because what God had did between Samson and the bride, who is the bride of Christ? All of us, the uncircumcised. He put the lion there. And for 3 days, they didn't get anywhere. Couldn't be explained. And honey came out of that, which speaks of the honey, which is the word of God. What is stronger than a lion? Only the word of God. The word of God, we know that the word of God is that. Nothing is stronger than that. And the honey is the word of God that brings the good taste and see that the Lord is good. And so that moment, now 7 days later, he is right here. And she is asking him to understand. And she can't understand. And the Philistines can't understand. And while Jesus had died and Peter is seeing the veil set before him, the Gentile world, that happened already. But no one knew. No one knew about the carcass. No one knew about the honey that was in the carcass. He had told no one. And the Gentiles could not know, and the Philistines could not know. There is no way that they could know. But this is not how God should do it. God should make it loud and clear and symbolism and everything. And God should tell the Gentile world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Easy. The secret is hidden. The Bible says the blind live behind a veil. They can't see what you as a Christian know. Why should we preach the gospel? Because there is no way for them to know that there's honey in death. That when you lay down your life, he says in Matthew, if you were to save your life, you would lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is no honey in your life while you, the old you, remains alive. But when you die, the new comes alive. And so, for 7 days, she weeps on him. They wept on him. And she said, look, I have not explained it to my father or mother. Now, she said, she wept another 7 days for that 7 days. It happened on the seventh day that he told her because she had pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of the people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. If you had not plowed with my heifer, heifer is an ox. He's calling his wife the heifer. If he had not talked to my wife, you could not solve the riddle. His wife is his bride. There is no way for the Gentiles to know if you don't tell them. And although in his life story, this must have hurt, because the same one he trusted is the same one who rejected him. What's the right word? Yeah, betrayed him. But in the same way, that's the only way they could hear. And the bees, some of the scholars likens the bees to the church who comes and pollinates and produces this honey. And some say that the lion is Jesus and the honey is his word and the bees is the church. It's a picture of us that spreads the gospel and even to the Philistines that they may hear. So the story has two meanings. It tells us that life is not easy. Life is not easily understood. That life feels like a riddle, unexplainable. How did I get here? It doesn't make sense to me. I planned that. And this happened. I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God is maybe looking for an occasion through your life. And if you would allow him, he'll even allow you to have some lions as carcasses from which there will come honey. But it also tells us the responsibility that the veil should be lifted. We should spread the gospel. That this honey is not just for us. This honey is the life given by Christ Jesus on the cross for everybody that would believe on him. Does that make sense to you? Let's pray. Father, I pray from the story of Samson, the difficulty of life. Thank you for every victory that we should not have by ourselves, but have because of you. Thank you, Jesus, that over every obstacle and difficulty, you saved us. Over every attack of a lion, the devil walks around like a roaring lion. You've overcome. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. That every carcass that lies in our yesterday, you make it work for our good. And you turn that into a testimony, a story for our future. And I also thank you that Jesus, you gave your life, died on that cross. And on the third day when you walked out of that tomb, it all made sense. That what was dead is now alive in Christ. That although our life hurts sometimes, we have life and life evermore in Jesus. That is not of ourselves so that we can boast. It is a gift of God. I pray as your church moves forward, fill it with honey. That when people look at us, see our hands dripping with honey and our mouths full of honey. Honey that restores and lifts up our face and illuminates our spirits. Your word in us. I pray for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.